Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are getting ready for all sorts of things around here in our country, including a new leader, and our city is going to be in the middle of all of this. I brought Baltimore Positive to life 2 years ago, now my 30th year in radio, to talk about local things. I live at the Inner Harbor. There's been no baseball downtown to speak of this year. There's been no football to speak of. There's been no tourism to speak of. Certainly many friends of mine, and I could talk about losing James Joyce. I could talk about losing Reggie's. I could talk about things that have changed structurally in the Inner Harbor. But tourism, our city, our future, a big, big part of this. And I want to welcome in, a guy that I feel like I know, and I know through social media, now that I am seeing him on Zoom, and for those of you watching out on Facebook or YouTube or on our Baltimore Positive TV channel, you'll see that probably we're kindred spirits, because any guy that has a legit Baltimore Skipjacks flag in his man cave basement is somebody I probably have to have on the program. Chris Reel's here joining us from Rent-A-Tour, which, you know, if you go out to rentator.com, you see that Baltimore, Washington, tourism, local, 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 and real Baltimore guy. Chris, a pleasure to have you on Baltimore Positive. How goes 2021 for you, other than awful?
Yeah, 2021 really said a 2020, hold my beer, right? No, so far, it's been a crazy, crazy couple of months, obviously, and I'm an eternal optimist. I'm enthusiastic about the direction we're going now, and I'm really hopeful that before the end of this year, we'll start being able to welcome folks back to our region in person.
Well, I'm an optimist as well, and I mean, the Baltimore Positive should say that, but through the darkest period here, whether it's PPP, whether it's federal money, whether it's city grants, obviously the restaurants are a really big part of this, right? Because you don't have tourism without restaurants. Fells Point is not Fells Point if, when this thing's over, if places aren't there. I can name them all, go one by one from, up and down the streets. But James Joyce isn't going to be there. Roy's isn't going to be there. You know, like the places that are gone, that's a real problem once we put the heartbeat back into this. And I know you live down near Meriwether Post, and I've already had Calvin Ball on. I just got off the phone with Tanya Aiken from the Howard County Public Library System. And I have said to everyone, Chris, for me as a human being, I will know that life is getting back to normal when I am on the lawn at Meriwether Post having a beer. And that's what I've taught. That's not a ball game. It's like, I see the blast behind you and the skipjacks. It's not going over the Royal Farms Arena, even for the Pearl Jam concert, to make that up, although that'll be a big night as well. I want to sit on the lawn at Meriwether and have a beer. That's my sort of target.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think we've all got those images in our mind of the things we really took for granted for so long. I mean, I want to bump into a stranger, and not
hug somebody you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, those are the kinds of things you never really thought about before. And now how grateful would we be to go back to a crowded bar or restaurant? It's part of our daily lives. And it's, as you mentioned, a big part of tourism too. It's heartbreaking that we've seen some of these institutions go away in the past year. And I hope that those that are hanging on are able to hang on for a little bit longer. I will say that my biggest priority, and I think the priority of most of us in tourism and hospitality, is to get the virus under control first and foremost. I don't think any of us want to put our businesses over the health and safety of our customers and of the people who work for us. So that needs to be priority number one. And I think that we're moving in that direction. But in the meantime, we need to make sure that our state and federal government is recognizing the crisis that our industry is in right now and providing the crucial aid, whether it's in the form of additional PPP money, whether it's in the form of direct aid or low interest loans, whatever it is, we need to make sure that these businesses do survive. We've already lost too many. And if we lose many more, even once it's safe, there won't be any place to go.
Well, I mean, I've talked about this with Save Our Stages, right? And for everyone I know who's ever strummed a guitar or beat a drum or sang a song or, been on the road with a band. I mean, I my background in music and sports and having these things shut down in the city, but my love of Baltimore, walking by the Hyatt 4 months ago and seeing literally weeds growing up from the cracks like, because it wasn't open and there was no one there. And, you know, and this was in the dead of summer. This was on a 95 degree day. I walked up to the Rofo to get some chicken, and seeing the city in that situation and now seeing it try just our city. I mean, the whole country is this way, right? Like, I went down to Houston. I was out to Phoenix for a couple of days 4 months ago. You know, we see what's going on in New York and other places. I mean, just the notion that there needs to be commerce to employ people, to feed people, all of these things that are going on for Baltimore and picking things up on the other end of this, it's just very, very hard to plan, right? I mean, all the tourism, all the conventions, all the hotels, all of those things that are sort of built into schedules that need to be built in ahead of time are all, like, not on hold right now, are in major, major quicksand until we get a grip on this thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you mentioned how many other businesses are affected by it. I don't think people realize what a big ecosystem tourism and hospitality really is. You know, we think about the hotels and the restaurants, they come to mind, obviously the attractions, places like the aquarium and the science center and all the things downtown. But when you think about the gift shops and things, and the little retail places around these neighborhoods, and all the people who are employed there, and the people who drive taxis or drive Lyfts and Ubers. I mean, all of this is impacted by a strong tourism economy. And if we don't have that, then everybody suffers. And I do believe that once it's safe again, people are really going to be busting at the seams to get out and travel again. So I do have confidence that we're going to see a pretty strong recovery. We just need to make it till then. That's the tough part.
And Chris Friel, sorry.
I was going to say, and then we need to make sure that we're inviting people in. You know, we have a great story to tell.
Well, and I was going to lead you to that. Tell me about Rent-A-Tour. Chris Friel is here, involved with Rent-A-Tour, but more than that, just, you know, I was looking to have somebody on just to talk about this because we haven't, I mean, I'll have Brandon Scott on and he's got a million other things, you know, to talk about other than tourism, which is important. But, you know, I went to sell my home a couple of years ago. I couldn't get a bit of a walk through it, right? I just seen other comparables sell for, you know, just in a level that I'm not leaving. You know what I mean? Like, and for all of this, I walk through the harbor and I see Baltimore as this throwback Euro thing, because I've been all over the world. And I see that domino sign and what Kevin Plank's tried to do, you know, and what we're doing down in Port Covington. And I've had Mark Weller on. And I see what Camden Yards represents now 30 years in. I was here when they put the first pitchfork in the ground for that, the football team. All of the things that we have that sort of glue this together. But Chris, I always joke with my wife when I walk from my place past the Science Center toward the Rusty Scupper, on the first day that Harbor Place was open, July 4th, back 1980, I was 11 years old. My parents brought me down to the harbor, and I saw a crab in the harbor, and I walked down that little the little cobblestone embankment, and I fell in the harbor. And I got, you know, water up to my waist. I always say to my wife, it's kind of that funny story. We walk by, and we're holding hands. I say, ever tell you about the time I fell in the harbor? The Harbor Place opened, you know, like, so that's how far back I go to getting Anna's fried dough in the Light Street Pavilion the day it opened and hearing the Dixieland jazz music coming out of Phillips down below in the piano bar and seeing Swenson's ice cream upstairs, which became Hooters, right? So, like, I remember all of this. I can remember the smell of the bread because they baked bread in there when it first opened. So getting the harbor back, getting the tourism back, Fort McHenry, Flag House, Lincoln, you know, all of the things, Civil War history, all of these things that we have here in the city, Poe, all of that. I remember when Yankees and Red Sox fans would show up because Angelos wrecked the team, 30, 40,000 strong. In this room that I'm in, my wife's relatives were flopped three deep in Red Sox gear, right? Back in 2004 and 5 and 6 and 7. And I think about what that meant for the Hard Rock and what that meant for the Science Center, what that meant for the Aquarium and what that meant for the Marriott and the Sheraton and the Hyatt. And I'll go ding, ding, ding. All this is before Harbor East existed. So bringing it all back, and I've spent time in Hong Kong, I've spent time in these waterway areas, the beautiful lights that I take pictures of every morning that I think probably led you here with my sunrise or sunset pictures. And I think to myself, like Dorothy from The Wizard, you know, click my purple heels together, and 5 years from now, what's going to be here, you know? And that's where I have tough questions for Brandon Scott and tough questions for, you know, anybody involved in the downtown partnership, to the point where, like, they don't really have answers, but we need to talk about these things to at least come to a point, because I don't think Harbor Place was a one solution thing where Governor Schaefer just ran in and said, I got an idea. This is what we're going to do. I think it was a whole bunch of people, including Jim Rouse, you know, down where you are, you know, sitting where you are in Symphony Woods in 1971, that have these visions. And I talked to people about, you know, I had a wonderful guy from Edmonton, Alberta, that I'll share, Ron, on talking about urban development or in cities and what the future of a city looks like. And I see these the Lime bikes and these scooters and stuff that go 20 miles an hour through the harbor. I don't know, but I know it's changing. And I know we need to figure out where this thing's going, because Baltimore should be a top 10 travel destination in this country to come and just hang out, eat crabs, listen to music, have a beer, go to a ball game, go to a concert. We should be all of that in a bag of donuts. And it pisses me off that we're not, but I know over the next 10 years, we need to find answers for what happens here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the word you mentioned really hits it on the head. It's vision. And we have, despite all of these challenges right now, we really have, I think, a unique opportunity to do something special in Baltimore. You know, I grew up in Catonsville, and when I was a kid, we went down to Harbor Place all the time. I have the same memories that you do of down there, and you know, going to a ball game, going to an ethnic festival, German festival, Irish festival, Lithuanian festival, all those.
Dude, you got the City Fair thing on your desk. Hold that up. Hold. Go right. Oh, yeah. Hold that. Now, what year is that from? Does it have a date on or anything, or no?
I don't. This cup is not.
Dude, that's got to be.
This
it's late 70s.
Flea market. Yeah.
Dude, that's a late 70s cup, because that looks like the old, like, Royal Farms cups I used to get with, like, you know, a ball player on it back in the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I look for this stuff. I see it on eBay. When we were out and about, we were, you know, see it at yard sales and places like that, flea markets. If I could turn the camera around here, it's just anything.
I'll give you a purple rain poster if you want one. I got
it. I'd love one. That'd be awesome.
You need some Mike Resigliano artwork in there. You know, I had Resig.
Yeah, that'd be rad.
Yeah, yeah. Resig's with me all the time. So there's always a piece of Resig artwork on my set. But I had the real Resig on this week. He put a Bills hat on, which, you know, might be the end of us before it's all over.
Yeah,
but
are you still speaking?
What's that? Well, you know, he's get that Buffalo background. I mean, go watch the segment. You'll appreciate he and I in a jalopy driving up to Buffalo in 1988.
Nice.
I fell in love. It was a long story. Chris, for Renator and for anyone that's involved, and, you know, I like Harbor Magic. I mean, I just think of all these people, you know, our friends that have built hotels here, what the Tremont represents and what the Four Seasons represents, and, you know, the Atlas folks building all these restaurants to support all of this stuff. Tell me about Renator a little bit, and tell me about unique touring, because my wife would always say, and this is who I am, Chris, probably why you're on the show today. My wife and I would walk through the harbor. My wife would always say, you should run for mayor. You should be a tour director. When this is over with, I should be the guy standing in front of the little boat down in, you know, at the foot of the harbor, like offering to take people's pictures and stuff. Because I have taken 1,000 pictures for 1,000 tourists who do not speak English. I would always try to find the people that don't speak English and go up to them and say, oh, you need a picture? This is back when you could touch people's stuff. You know what I mean? And I would find people from Taiwan. I have talked to people from Pakistan, people from all over the world. Not you from South Baltimore. I came in from Catonsville. You don't need any help taking a picture. You'll just take a picture. But I'm talking about 5-10 years from now, people would have big cameras. They'd be obviously coming off a bus from Taiwan that stopped coming from New York going down to D.C. They'd be coming in and spending 2 hours for lunch. I'd see their buses out in front of the science center, and we would just go mingle with those folks, because I thought it's just the coolest thing in the world that people from around the world want to stop in Baltimore and have a crab cake.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we need more of that kind of thing. We're Charm City, right? We're welcoming. We want people to come here. We want to show them around. We want to give them a good time and send them away happy. You know, my company, Rent-A-Tour, we work with bus groups. We work with conferences and conventions, school groups, family reunions, you name it. We'll put together an itinerary for them if they're coming into the region. You mentioned we also do a little bit of work in Washington, D.C. as well. I'm also the president of the Baltimore Tourism Association and the board chair of the Maryland Tourism Coalition. So I feel like I represent everybody in our industry when I'm talking about these things, not just my business, because we all want to get back to a time where we could welcome people. And we don't.
And I want to help you do that, by the way. So
appreciate that. And we don't just want to get back to where we were before the pandemic. We want to go above and beyond that, because I truly believe with all my heart that Baltimore should rival cities like Boston, Philadelphia, and New York with our tourist economy, because our stories are just as good, if not better, than theirs. We have incredible
if
stories.
If you haven't been to Baltimore, you probably haven't had a proper crab cake. You know what I mean? If you're driving, yeah. If you're driving on 95 right here, right? I mean, if you're driving through Port Covington and you're just a person, you know, from Georgia, from Northern New Jersey, whatever, the notion that you would stop here 25 years ago to see Camden Yards, or as my family, Camden Yards, you know, like, and the notion that we were going to have picnics there, remember back in 92, 93, every day was going to be open for lunch, and they were going to have the fifth floor dining area where they charged everybody so much that they chased them away, and none of that, like, took hold, but the harbor has worked for 40 years. Now, you know, maybe the last 10 years you'd say, all right, we need to change it. And I'll hear all of that infrastructure, the whole deal. But, you know, I've heard like glass bridge across the harbor. I when I go to St. Louis, when I was a boy, I dreamed of seeing the Gateway Arch, right? I later found out Springsteen fell in love with his wife underneath the Gateway Arch. It's a true story. He's told that story. But things like that, what could we build here above and beyond a crab cake? And I'm whiteboarding with you now, Chris. You know, that beyond Fort McHenry, beyond all of that, that would make people, and crime, I mean, the eliminating the crime is at the top of everything, that when people think of Baltimore, they think of Cal Ripken and crab cakes and wonderful things and not think of The Wire, right? Right, and, but that's our narrative to change. And that's exactly something I'll take up with Brandon Scott. But if that were to change, what happens that's the next harbor place? And I've often thought about a glass peace bridge that connects, you know, the one side of the harbor to the other. I mean, that's pretty natural. You know, in Hong Kong, they built a tunnel. They call it Kowloon. You know what I mean? Here, we have no way to get from the Rusty Scupper to Pier 6 without swimming. Right. So, you know, there should be a mechanism for that if I were mayor. And, you know, I've seen what they've done. You want a great city study, Chris? I'll give you one. Study Medellin, Colombia. Hmm. You know, there's the drug capital of the universe, killing soccer stars, right? Like, they've made movies about this. The ESPN 30 for 30 is phenomenal. But they fixed it. They have this incredible cable car that comes out of the, you know, comes out of the hills, like almost like in Queensland, a Queenstown in New Zealand, or if you've been to a ski resort, right? They have it. I don't think we could do that from Federal Hill, but I think we could do things in the corridor and the basin of the Inner Harbor to make it Disney World on the East Coast if we did it the right way, because that was Governor Schaefer's vision. That was Jim Rouse's vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think why not have big ideas like that? I think the bridges, I've seen renderings of what they're doing over at Rash Field right now is very exciting, the way they're redeveloping that side of the harbor. And I think it's really important that we make sure that whatever we decide to do at the waterfront benefits the city as a whole. We can't have a divide between what's good for tourism and what's good for the rest of Baltimore. That should be an overlap. Because when
having local people invested in the harbor instead of chains that right. You know, like that, that's pretty fundamental, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always like to think of, if we think of Baltimore as our home, then the Inner Harbor is our front porch. And the front porch isn't necessarily the most important room in your house, but it's what everybody sees. And so we need to make sure that we have that good front porch to invite people in to see the rest of our house, to see our neighborhoods, to spend their money in those local establishments and support those small businesses.
Well, for God's sake, really don't put me out on the porch. I'll scare them all away, Chris. You know what I mean? If I'm the guy down there taking your picture.
But you know what I mean, right? It's about drawing people in. And there have been studies that prove places people want to visit are also places that people want to live. So if we can get people here as tourists and show them all that we have to offer, show them the potential of Baltimore, then they're likely to move to our city and invest in our city. Start.
By the
business.
Way, I got one in the other room for you. My wife came down here on a work mission.
There you go.
A couple of years before she met me, and you know, she tells me the place she had Thai food. You know, she did all this stuff. And so when I met her, you know, she had been to Baltimore and she had a very positive feeling about Baltimore in February of 2003, right? You know, like, so I don't know if I met her in 2020 and said to her, "Dad, I'm moving her to Baltimore." That's an issue that I talk about with Morgan State, Coppin State, Hopkins, Loyola, UMBC. We've had Freeman on talking about recruitment to here. We've talked about that with all the hospitals, about getting people to want to live here and be a part of the community, invest here. People mm-hmm. that come from outside the city that come here and stay here forever. And I'm always fascinated by those people. You know, my friend Jerry Gutierrez over at Taco Fiesta from San Diego. I'm like, man, how's a San Diego guy wind up in Baltimore, you know, and live here forever? And I'm not saying it's not appealing now. I have neighbors that moved here from State College, Pennsylvania, that just decided in the last 6 months they want to be in Baltimore, you know, and that's awesome. My dear friend Chris Pike, he came from Atlanta, bought a house down in South Baltimore. Might have bought your old house, Chris, down off the land of Al Kaline at Digital Harbor. So we have people moving in, and I saw that report this week, real estate-wise, and I'll get Jeff Moeller on to talk about that next week with me from Moeller & Gary Realty, just about it's not as bad as you think. Houses are selling in Baltimore. Literally, Chris, a minute before I came in, I was just getting my ROFO in my Cole Roofing mug here. My wife said to me, "Hey, you know that house down, because we live up high," that she pointed to. She said, "Yeah, that house in Otterbein we loved, it sold." And I'm like, she was almost like disappointed. I'm like, "We weren't buying it." She's like, "Yeah, but I love that house." And I'm like, so, you know, things are selling. I'm probably going to be listing my place this year because my wife wants an outdoor deck with a patio, mm-hmm. and we want an outdoor grill. Mm-hmm. We've lived in a place for 17 years where we don't have a lawn and we don't have a grill. And we never thought about having a garden. You know what I mean? So like that is a little bit of our jam, is to have a rooftop garden or like, right. You know, we're thinking more along the lines of cookout, garden, opening a window and our cat doesn't jump out. Right. There you go. But you know where I live, man. Like, yeah. I turned my whole company to, you know, but this is my life. It's important to me, but there's so many people like you that it's important to. And that's kind of where I wanted to take Baltimore Positive. So if you got more friends that you want to bring on to tell the Baltimore story, that's what I'm about. So tell me about Rent-A-Tour. When somebody comes to Baltimore, where do you take them, man? Like, I'll give you a plug for something. The most beautiful place in the city that no one's ever been is the Peabody Library.
Oh boy, yeah, gorgeous.
Now, you know, you gotta be sort of an event or whatever, but everyone in the world should see that because it's the most unbelievable room I've ever been in.
You know, we overuse the word breathtaking, and every time I bring someone into that room, it's literally—
I've only been there once. They won't let me in.
It's incredible.
But I mean, the Walters, the BMA, I mean, just go on and on and on and on. I don't know where you would take them. You know what I mean?
So it depends on what their interests are and how much time they have. If I have someone that tells me they just want to get a feel for the city, usually we'll start down by the waterfront because they're probably staying in one of those downtown hotels. And we'll just start cruising around. If we're on a bus, I've done walking tours with individuals before. And we just start having a conversation. I start telling them stories.
Dude, if you and I went out for a couple of hours and just filmed it, it'd be insane. Because like I've done this with my family members, you know, 100 times, like literally taking them, just driven completely through the city and said, "This is Johns Hopkins. This is where Memorial Stadium was." I did it with Joe Flacco.
Nice.
Like literally, I took Joe Flacco around Baltimore and showed him where everything was.
You just tell me where and when, man. I'll be there. And what I want to do is I want to tell people stories in a way that makes them want to retell those stories. I want to turn them into Baltimore ambassadors. I want them to be as excited about this city as I am after they take one of our tours. I want them to stand out on the ramparts of Fort McHenry, looking out over the Patapsco River and imagining what it must have been like to see those British bomb ships out there shelling the fort, and then to turn around and see the flag up there. I want them to feel that in their bones. I want them to get goosebumps, and I want them to go back to wherever they're from and say, "Hey, I've got a story to tell you. Did you know?" And then to launch into it. I want them to talk about the first Washington Monument in the United States. I want them to talk about Babe Ruth and Edgar Allan Poe. And I want them to talk about Baltimore today. I want them to talk about the great meal they had at a restaurant in one of our neighborhoods, or the incredible one-of-a-kind piece of art that they picked up at a gallery, maybe over on Pennsylvania Avenue. You know, there's so much potential here, and it's up to us to make sure we're telling that story. Because the comment that I get more than any other after I finish a tour from people that have never been to Baltimore, and even from people that have maybe been to Baltimore but not for a long time, is that, wow, I didn't know that. And on one hand, it's very gratifying for me as a tour guide to be the one that shares it with them. But on the other hand, it's frustrating because I'm like, you should have known that. You know, that means we're not doing a good enough job telling our story. If you didn't know that the Star Spangled Banner was born in Baltimore, then we need to do better. If you didn't know that Babe Ruth was born in Baltimore, then we need to do better, because our stories are great. And, you know, when people think about American history, they think about cities like Boston and Philadelphia. Baltimore should be in that conversation. Baltimore is one of the most consequential cities in American history. And I think that we're going to continue to be as we move forward.
Let's fix it, man. Chris Reel's here. He is a renator, but quick question for you. And I'm just throwing this out, softballing you. You know, Al Hutchinson, the folks would be happy about this. Is Light City happening this year? Like, it's one of my favorite things. It was one of my sort of build off things of living down here and thinking, all right, we can make this something. You know, we can really make this something, because people love lights. I've learned that in Las Vegas. I've learned that in Hong Kong. I've learned that in New York. Yeah, I've learned that in L.A. I've learned that living downtown, where when I wake up at 4:30 in the morning and it's solemn and I look out, you know, over the city, I've seen what they've done to Camden Yards. I'm sure that was a inside. I'm sure John Angelos made that decision. The stadium and the Promo Seltzer Tower. My wife looked at the Promo Seltzer Tower during Christmas. She's like, hey, one side's red, one side's green. I'm like, yeah, it's been that way. She usually notices that stuff way before I do. But the lights on the World Trade Center, just through the harbor, there is light and energy that happens, even at 4 a.m., that I feel that I want to share with people, even if they don't feel it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have an answer for you about Light City. I think we all hope it will. You know, we moved it to the fall, so it was getting dark a little bit earlier.
I thought that was a great idea, by the way.
Yeah, I think that made a lot of sense. I think with everything that we have planned, it's just sort of a holding pattern right now. We're just going to have to wait and see. We hope for the best. And, you know, things like Light City and the other festivals and things that we do down here, whenever we have a big event, it puts positive attention on the city. I'm so excited that we're still going to have Preakness in Baltimore. Those kinds of events that turn the eyes of the world to our city in a positive way are what we need to bring people back in. And events like Light City are a big part of that.
What's your mug, man? Is that Black Eyed Susan? What is that?
Yeah, this is, I think this is actually a, I don't know if I should say this. I think it might be a Starbucks mug, but.
Oh, that's okay.
It's got a couple of different Maryland icons on
that's
there.
That's fine. Yeah. I saw it. It looked like Black Eyed Susan. And I'm thinking to myself, I'll give you a Preakness glass if you want one. I got more Baltimore crap that I can really freshen up your room if you want, you know.
I'll tell you, I'll take it. My wife does want to make sure everybody understands that this is the only room in our house that looks like this. This is she
well, I'm sharing this because it's 20 years ago. So, you know, at this point, the Lombardi tribe, I'm finding all sorts of like goodies. I had Rasig on this week. So we're, you know, putting up goodies like this. So, I mean, I got things I could share and put behind you. You know what I have here? I have Baltimore City here. And yeah. I made this during Baltimore Homecoming last year. So when Baltimore Homecoming happened, we had field trips and I went up to right by Penn Station. I don't want to get the name of the center wrong. Because if I Google it, I'll get it right. But I made that with some young kids, and they helped me make that in the printing shop up there. I even got like black ink all over my hands because I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I didn't pay attention to printing class back at Dundalk High.
What a great experience that must have been for you and for the kids. That, you know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you remember.
Yeah, I want to get the name right. So before I do it, before I let you go, you promote away. You say a few words, and I'm gonna find the place because I do want to promote the exact center I was at because I can find it on my Google map here. What's going on here over the next, let's say, 90 days? What are people like you doing to stay busy in sort of preparation for us to get a shot?
Yeah. I'm trying to stay engaged as best I can. Obviously, we've had to pivot away from live tours, so I've started doing things like this. The reason I set this room up down here in the first place was so I could still engage with people that want to hear Baltimore stories. I've got a YouTube channel with some videos up there where I'm telling some stories. I've done some live interactive virtual tours. We've done some virtual scavenger hunts, which is fun, where you can Look for items around your own home that are related to Baltimore in some form or fashion. And then you can hear the stories behind those everyday household items. So I'm just trying to stay engaged as best I can. Again, you mentioned the website, www.rentator.com, and you can link to my YouTube channel from there. And follow me on social media at RealDeal125 on Twitter and Instagram. Just trying to put the good word out there. Same thing you're doing, Nestor. Baltimore Positive. That's what it's all about.
So it's Neighborhood Center 11. It's at the corner of Landvale and it's just below North. I want to get it right. I want to tell everybody where it is because it's at Guilford. So it's on Guilford. Yeah. It's right next to like a Montessori school. Mm-hmm. And we went and they have a printing shop in there. So, and they're teaching the kids how to print. They all got the aprons on and stuff. And they're doing shirts and stuff. I made a mess though. But I put my We the People I Voted flag on it. So I always have Baltimore on the set. You always have Baltimore in your heart. And I tell you what, that Skipjacks banner there, dude, that'll fetch $15 on eBay. I'm telling you right now.
Well, that's nice to know, but it's not going anywhere.
You're not giving that. How about the standby on the air? Where'd you get that thing? That's pretty good.
So, funny story. My wife, who is probably never even crossed against the light in her life, actually stole this from her high school theater department. She was in the props department and she was getting ready to graduate. She said, this looks pretty cool. I'd like to
have it. Is that Catonsville High School?
No, she went to high school in Montgomery County. She went to high school in Montgomery County. I don't want Don Mueller getting mad at me. We didn't take anything from Catonsville High School. But she decided she wanted to take this, and it spent 20 years in her parents' garage, and they were cleaning it out, and they were like, where'd this come from? And it ended up in our basement, and it's fit perfectly into this little basement set that I put
together. Dude, I'd say, you know, that's something, I'd barter for that. I'd rent that for a couple months. Yeah, I got to freshen it up around here. The leg lamp has been here forever. It's sort of iconic at this point.
Definitely.
We might have to play Cleveland next week, so I better be nice to those folks. Chris Reel's here. He is with Rent-A-Tour and all things commerce, tourism, and you're showing people a good time here in Baltimore. Chris, I appreciate you coming on and talking about the city that we mutually love. I've enjoyed seeing your swag. Next time, if you mix it all up in there, you know, probably come back and find an All-America Conference Colts thing behind you before it's all over with, right?
I've got my Baltimore Stallions pinned up here on the other wall. That's it's another classic.
Ron Snyder wrote a great book on a stallion. You should go check that out.
I would love to.
Chris, I appreciate you, man. Take care.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody, check out your restaurants, your local attractions. A lot of them are selling gift cards online. Do what you can to support them for the next couple of months. And then once we're open again, come see us.
I fully, fully agree with that. We're going to get out in the community, do some things here once we get the shot and get up and running. Chris Reel's here from Rent-A-Tour and all things Baltimore and our love of Baltimore. Think about that day when Harbor Place opened up. I went into the McCormick factory onto the third floor. They had this tea room with all of this incredible architecture. And they tell me that they've transported that tea room up to Shawan Road. So I'm going to have to get up there and do that at some point, but probably still have some of that cake frosting they gave me back in 1981. Nasty at WNST.net. Some of the sprinkles as well there. We are monitoring all things football. I am not going to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, but we're still doing a radio row right here from Baltimore, which means I probably get a crab cake from Faithley's involved, which isn't a bad thing. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking our love of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive.